Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening is Mr. Dane Alexander. Dane, at the beginning of the first hour, I don't know if you could hear us when you were on hold, but we were talking about healing and prayer requests that we do through our radio show and on our website and connections through MySpace. And I can tell you, we've had some amazing things happen when I've had 100, 200 people turn out and start focusing their power, if you will, or their intent on that. Do you believe that prayer is being answered, or is it simply a shift of consciousness and the focus of so many people focusing on one common good, that that's what's creating a change? I mean, just to throw out a couple of points here, our friend Dana, her daughter was pregnant and they found a tumor in the baby's brain while in utero. And we all began praying and doing a healing on it. When she went back to the doctor, the tumor was completely gone. They were actually worried at one point that they were going to have to terminate the pregnancy. This totally reversed and vanished. My friend Dana then went into the hospital very ill suddenly, and we began a huge prayer chain and Reiki healing and energy healing for her. She was out within a day. Another good friend of ours, Cheryl from Long Island Investigations, she had a massive asthma attack after, I think it was New Year's Eve or Christmas, one of those holidays, where she went into the hospital, was basically in a coma, and it didn't look good. From what the family and friends were telling me, is that they had called in for last rites, and as fate would have it, with all the people that turned out, not only did she come out of it, she came out of it better, and as of the last time she talked to me, she hasn't even needed her inhaler since then.
Okay, what you're doing, you're talking in terms of there are two different modalities going on here. You were actually doing the string theory, you're doing the law of attraction, you're the law of intent, you're putting them all together, and you are making something occur, which is extremely good. And it's where most of the world is right now. We're talking in terms of the book in this other method, which I'll explain the difference between the two, because I address both of these things. The quantum mind consciousness efforts of others and yourself do work, but we're talking about a different method. Okay, the word metaphysics is misused because it's misunderstood by most people. Meta really means above the laws of physics. What you are doing, very powerful, is you are taking physics and making it work for you. You are manipulating physics, and the tumor disappeared. The other is meta, or above physics. You disband the laws of physics. You find out they no longer apply. And let me talk about your term, the person with the asthma attack. Okay, they've not had an asthma situation since then. If, for instance, okay, you broke your arm, you could use this technique to have an instantaneous healing of the arm, but that would never stop you from breaking it again, or a leg or a back or something like that. This particular methodology says, in God, if everything is perfect, nothing can be broken, and you get into that so much that you really realize that, you never have anything broken again, period. It's difficult to understand. It's so hard to wrap your mind around. That's why the book had to be written as a fact-based fictional story to pick this up and go through it and study it again and again. Actually, there are going to be 5 books, 4 major motion pictures. The first one will be out next year. It'll be 3 hours in length, roughly.
Motion picture to the theaters, or is this a TV event that you're
together? No. This is a worldwide motion picture that we're doing. It'll be at the Cannes Film Festival and so on and so forth. We're going to be starting shooting in September. We're in pre-production right now, and it will be out between March and June of next year.
Now, Dane, you're coming across with ideas and thoughts that can save a planet and save the lives of save our lives, make our lives better and more enriched. Why in God's name are people trying to stop the publication of this book and the progression of your movies?
Oh, there could be 4 separate groups. Let me tell you something fascinating. And those of you that order the book online, I'm going to personally autograph it for you and send you what is called a limited edition compromised collector's edition, and I'll tell you why. My managing editor was 25 years with the military intelligence, which is their counterpart to the CIA. He was like a lieutenant colonel, and he called me 2 days before we were going to press, and we had gone through the book by 5 separate editors. It had no error in it at all, no grammatical error, nothing. It was just squeaky clean. We proofread it 4 times, but as they say, 5 separate editors had gone through it and cleaned it up. And he came and he said, Dane, he was very excited, and he said, I went in to get the phone number of our printer. It's a major printer out of Kansas. And he said, the phone number has gone out of my Mac. And I said, so? And he said, Dane, it's Mac. And I said, oh, geez, you Mac people love Macs. I'm a PC person, but what the heck? You know. And he said, no, Dane, I went to another file. And their address was gone. Now, you have to understand, Dane, all the other manuscripts, all the other files were totally untouched. These 2 things were gone. I said, Bob, go to decaf. Have decaf. Come
right.
On. You've been a spook too long. And he said, no, Dane, I went to a 3rd file, and the FTP file was missing. All the other files are fine. All the other manuscripts are fine. But he said, the real pièce de résistance, the big deal, Dane, is they went to the manuscript, and they just really went through the thing and just totally mucked it up. He said, Do you remember the horse's head and the Godfather and the bed? And I said, yeah. And he says, well, this is the horse's head, Dane. They're telling you, be careful. Now, we went through, he cleaned it up, and there's still some errors, and there are about 40, unfortunately, in the book. And so we say that's the compromised collector's edition. It's not only a collector's edition, but it's the compromised one where we still have that. And I have a few of these left, and I will hand sign those and send them out as a special collector's thing. But here's the thing. Who is stopping it? Do you remember... And I'll tell you a couple different groups. Number one, the cave itself. The cave insults 3 of the main religions of the world. It tells the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims, your literature is wrong. Man has not been here for 6,000 years. There's archaeological proof. It's been millions. And if that's wrong, what else have you been telling us that's wrong? They don't like that. That's number one. But number two, let's talk about the military. Do you remember going down, and many of the people listening will remember this, going down the highways and seeing these long military convoys of tanks and jeeps and military troops, and occasionally you'd see a flatbed truck with these long, long missiles. Do you remember seeing those, Dave?
Right.
Have you seen any lately?
No.
Okay, then. Are you telling me the military no longer moves these things around?
No.
Uh-huh.
Now they just cleverly disguise them in milk trucks, is what I believe.
Okay, here's the thing. There are, believe it or not, a series of underground tunnels, as far-fetched as this is to believe, not only crisscrossing America, crisscrossing the world, and I'll get into the alien military aspect of this, and you can actually do some internet research and find some of these, but they have been built primarily by the aliens. They're very ancient. Then the military got into it, and we use them for moving these things underground. Now, how fanciful is this? Come on, Dane, please. Let's get sane here. No. My military, my MI guy for 25 years, his best friend, was courted by one of the main power families of the world for several years until they finally hired him, and they took him to the not only underground tunnel system, but an underground city in Switzerland. I mean, we're talking major city. But here, I'll tell you another story within a story. This is where it gets really deep. Down here in Arizona, some friends of mine, and she's a world-famous psychologist, and I won't get into that, and he's a famous lawyer. One day, I was down there. It was near Gilbert, Arizona. I'm in Scottsdale right now for the movie. And they said, Dane, something really strange about a quarter mile south of here. And I said, well, what is it? And they said, this little shack, and they're building some electrical substation there. But they have a person there, 24/7, in civilian clothes with a sidearm guarding this little shack. Isn't that strange? I said, well, I don't know. They said, Dane, did you ever see electrical substation with the transformers and everything else being guarded by anybody at least 24/7? I said, no. But they said, no, this is what makes it really weird. They live there. Now, I've known these people for, 29 years now. Every day, 10, 12 cars would pull up, and the people would get out of the cars as they would, my friends were driving by on the way to work, and they would go into this little shack. And I said, so what? And they said, the shack was only big enough that it could contain 10 people standing up, not sitting down or anything else. And they would go in there, they'd be there all day long, wouldn't come out until the evening. And I said, all right. And they said also, you have to understand, this woman is very vibrationally sensitive. She kept telling her husband, somebody around here is tunneling. And people would come around saying, would you like dump trucks full of dirt? We have fresh dirt. And they had 5 acres. So they said, yeah, pour it out there. Okay, now this is 1 year. About a year later, she was coming home one night, and right in front of, now the substation is built, the transformers and everything else, but they still have somebody guarding it 24/7, civilian clothes, still with a sidearm, rain, sleet, you name it, he's there. And it doesn't make sense. But anyway, she was coming home, and it was late, and the road in front of the substation had caved in. And she came up. Now, usually when you find a cave-in of that nature, you'll find the electrical company there, the police there, the fire department, whatever. They said, no, only military, all in fatigues, all of their M1s pointed at her saying, you can't pass. And she got out, and she looked down, and she saw in this hole about 100 feet down trucks, huge trucks, dump trucks with their lights on going back and forth. There's a tunnel system. So the military doesn't really want everybody to know that there's this massive tunnel system of how they're moving things. It's very, very quiet. Could they have stopped this? Yes. Could it have been aliens? Very, very possibly, because I get into some very, very touchy things about the aliens in the book. And then there is a fourth group of some major people who are really running the world, who are really pulling the strings. They perhaps don't want this out. I don't know who doesn't want this out, but they, as they said, sent the horse's head in the bed.
Well, now, Dane, being a skeptic myself, the things that come to mind, I know you refer to, a lot of people can do research on the Internet. The Internet's full of a bunch of bullshit, if you pardon my French. There's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, you can find websites dedicated to the fact that Elvis is, in fact, still alive, as is Jim Morrison, and there's photographs and photographic evidence to back and support these stories. How do we sift the garbage out from the real stuff?
I have as much problem with the Internet as you do, and I totally understand. I'm going upon personal experience. Now, these two people, like this husband and wife I've known for 29 years, and they're just as straight can be. My friend, who's my managing editor, 25 years of military intelligence, when they bring me these stories, I tend to believe them. And by the way, I drive by that power station, and there's still that car there. It changes people, but somebody's there 24/7, dressed in civilian clothes with a sidearm, and I don't know why he's guarding transformers. I have not a clue. It might be difficult for other people to research, and you don't have to believe that. That's not important. The real essence of the book are not these things that I put in the book. It's really the technique. The purpose for the book is for those that are ready to learn the technique. Now, everybody's going to advance toward the technique at some point in the future. Many are going to be able to do it now in this time because things are being sped up. We're being awakened psychically like it's very hard to even imagine. All these things that are put in there that are facts, like this cave. If you don't have a chance to go to the cave, therefore you can't see it, okay. If you can't remote view, okay, then you might have to go on faith. But if you can remote view, go to the cave. If you can hike up there and you don't mind breaking the law, go to the cave. It's tricky to get into, very dangerous. But, these things I put in the book can all be researched to a degree, most of them. Some of them, like the tunnel situation, it's a little harder.
All right, and again, I'm not trying to put you on trial with these kind of questions. I'm just curious.
Oh, you're not.
Because it helps us, too. You know, I mean, if there's stuff that can be sincerely validated, you know, that helps so that people can then say, okay, I can now progress past the BS meter, and now I can open my mind to a man like Dane Alexander and try to get the tips and hints on how to expand and open my mind and open these horizons and get to the next level. Now, you mentioned that there's a big shift and a change coming. We're hearing that from religious leaders, political leaders, psychics, sensitives, you know, everybody, that there's a sense of change. And we're not talking about a political upheaval or a change in you know, politics. We're talking about like a global, I can't even think of the word I'm looking for here, but a global upheaval or, you know, a galactic change going on this planet. Do you believe that that ties in with the Mayan calendar? And I've got questions coming in from people in the chat room like T. Curtis and from Marley that want to know, what are your thoughts on the 2012 prediction? And is that truly the end of our planet, or is it the end of what we know and the beginning and the realization of the universe that you're talking about now?
It's the latter. It's the beginning. I talk in terms of the book about it being like going metric. We're going to switch. We're going to find out that time does not really have to be linear, as we've been led to believe, as we bought into for the many millions of years and so on and so forth. We're going to shift our entire consciousness into a different paradigm. Yeah, a lot of people are going to pass away during this time. The last mass extinction of Earth was 25 million years ago, and it was caused by what's called the Great Warming. Okay, it does happen rhythmically. It happened 50 million years ago, then 25 million years ago, and it's happening now. But the key is, and it was caused by the Great Warming each time, right now that Great Warming is not occurring at the same speed. It's not occurring at twice the speed, three, four. It's occurring five times faster. Now, many people aren't going to make it through. People that work with this technique are going to be able to make it through, even if you don't understand the technique fully, even if you just kind of have a little idea of it, like you and your son. You have it on a very deep level. I have to tell you something very quickly about Socrates. He was being challenged. They said, you know, you're not so hot. He said, I tell you what, I can teach anybody. I said, I'm going to take the village idiot boy and teach him calculus. They said, yeah, right, he can't read, he can't write, you know. Within one day, Socrates had the boy doing high calculus, but he did it not by cramming information into him. He did it because he pulled what the kid already knew out. The word educate does not mean, in its old sense, putting information in. It means pulling out. Each of you listening, everybody listening, are the ancients of ancients. You have just fallen under an illusion of hypnosis. You've fallen under a Maya. You fall under a belief that you cannot do these things. And what you're going to do is reawaken in the year 2012, some before, some a little after, that you can do these things. Most of the world isn't listening to this type of conversation. But since there is no such thing as an accident, those people that are drawn to your particular radio show, you're ready. You are definitely ready to make this quantum leap forward. So don't be worried about 2012. Just get down and start saying, how can I awaken more? And this is one way.
Well, Tim, how are we set here for time? Do we need to take a break here before we get in? All right, we're going to take our first break of the second hour, Dane. When we come back, I want to dig in deep and let's start focusing. I want some tips and hints from you for people that want to make a change in their life. And I don't talk about the secret. I don't mean that. I mean, what can we do so that we can try to experience things like awakenings, so that we're breaking through the shell? What can we do now? We'll get back with more of that when we come back.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Me llamo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town. When Dave was a young boy, he once awoke to find himself staring directly into the eyes of a shadow person. Turns out it was just his life-size cardboard cutout of Donny Osmond.
Go away, never. Go away, never.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Before we went to break, we were talking to Dane Alexander. I do want to mention, as we've been talking about doing the healing and prayer requests, for those of you that heard at the beginning of the show, our friend Denise Jones, her son Michael, was rushed into the hospital having cardiac arrest. And actually, we've posted a big blog about it and bulletins at MySpace. The prayers and healing are pouring in. There is an update if you go to my MySpace, which is myspace.com/thedarknight, TheDarkNight. You should be able to see there the new blog talking about Michael and the prayers, and Denise has updated that as well. So hopefully you'll join us and see the good news that she's sharing there about some of the changes that are taking place with Michael. So again, thank you very much. And again, I'm sorry, it's my MySpace URL is myspace.com/thedarknight, TheDarkNight. And you can follow up on the progression for the people that we're calling in prayers for. So we'll get back into the show here with Michael. Before we left the show with Dane, I had thrown kind of a gauntlet down at you, Dane. I want to talk about what can people do now to start to awaken and open themselves up and break through this haze. For the serious-minded people like myself that want to move to the next level and understand more.
All right. Let's talk in terms of what you can do physically, visibly, and then also what you can do to prepare yourself spiritually. Here's something you might want to take a pen and jot it down, because it's really simple to do, but it will show you how powerful your mind is. And everybody can do this. What you do is take a piece of cardboard, let's say 1-inch square. It can be a little bigger. It's no big thing. And you get a pin. That you use for sewing, one with a rounded head at one end and then the sharp at the other, and put it right through the center of that cardboard and let the cardboard just sit on the table so the pin is sticking straight up. Then just take a bit of common paper, it could be newspaper, white paper, whatever, typing paper, no big thing. Cut a 1-inch square, roughly 1 inch, just, you know, a little, a 16th of an over under, no big thing, and fold it into a square twice. What I mean by that is, when you fold it and then fold it again, you will have a crease going right through the center of it. So it'll form like a giant cross through the center of it. And then kind of bend it down a little bit, and you'll have like an umbrella. And put that little 1-inch square with an umbrella, where that the center of it, where the lines intersect, right on top of that pin, and it'll balance there so delicately, you can't believe it. It'll just balance. And you have to be home alone when you do this, because the drafts in the room of anybody moving around will show you that there's subtle wind movement in the room. Sit down and look at that little balancing umbrella, if you would, and just direct your mind to make it spin. Clockwise, counterclockwise doesn't make any difference. You may have to do this for a period of time. It may take you 20, 25, 30 minutes to finally get into that zone where you'll finally get it going in one direction. You'll go like, whoa, it can't be happening. And you'll say to yourself, okay, if it really is happening, I'm going to make it stop and make it spin in the other direction. And you're going to find that you're going to be able to do this. Everybody can do it. When you get really good, you will actually say, all right, now I want the entire little umbrella to levitate straight up in the air. And you'll find that you can do that. That is the power of the mind. And that shows you what the mind can do. However, let's get into a stage that's even deeper. We're talking in terms of walking through a wall. If you want to sit down and you want to say, all right, I want to walk through a wall, there's a very simple way of doing it, and each of us is capable of it. You simply, by deep meditation, make your molecular vibration the same as whatever that wall is, whether it's ceramic, paper, wood, whatever, and you can go through it. That's a low metaphysical method. That's also low, like that little umbrella that I have levitating is very low. What you, as the technique I'm going to talk to you in a minute about, is when you really get up there, you're going to say, if all is God and all God is everywhere and everything else is a manifestation of God, I have a hypnotic belief that there's a wall there. A wall doesn't really exist. And you'll pass through the wall, because for you, there is no wall. God does not stop because Mercury is in retrograde, because there are bad omens or anything else. There is no difficulty in God, and you're going to come to realization that there is no sickness, there is no sin, there is no disease, there is no death. and you're going to be able to transcend those things. And how you do it is, first of all, you work on humility. Without working on humility, nothing can take place. There are those of you that have been studying this for a long time, studying metaphysics. I'm sorry to say, you're probably going to be the last ones to get this. Those that are new, those that are having all problems in your life, that are having all difficulties, you're going to be the first, because you're going to go like, you don't have any preset conditions in your mind, and you're going to make it happen. There are some books out there, and you very seldom find one author recommending another author. We are coming out with a whole series of workbooks and everything else. If you want to look at this from a different direction, go and purchase The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. And that will give you some inclination about how this whole thing comes about. There is also another very well-known author just come on the horizon called Eckhart Tolle. And he has some books out that will show you how to get into the now presence. And once you get into the now and you sustain it, everything tends to be possible. So these are different ways that you can begin this process. Also in Sedona, not everybody can make the trip. There is called the Sedona Releasing Method. And what we have to do is we have to empty ourselves of all the preconditions that we can't do things. And once we do that, then we're open and everything can flow through us. And Lester Levinson is one of the avatars that I mentioned in the book. I knew him personally. Lester could do all the things that I mentioned, plus a whole lot more. Like he fell down one time and broke his back. And he said, how can I have a broken back if God is everything and God is perfect? Whoosh, his back was perfect again. Lester was the one that I was talking to about teleporting or having the flask that was the canteen that was half full of water, pouring it out all day, and then coming back and still having half a canteen of water full. He was capable of that. So these are the things. If you want to take the Sedona Releasing Method, that's an actual tangible method whereby you can get the I can't out of you, and so you start into the I can't modality.
I am, I'm a firm believer that there is more to the universe around us and tapping into that energy. I've seen it work. I've seen some strange things happen. I wonder, though, are things like time travel, teleportation, are they real, or are they a remote viewing form that you've accomplished where you're allowing yourself to see back in time and you get that vividly imaginative experience, or you're almost self-hypnotizing yourself to believe that you're there?
No, they're real. They're absolutely real. One night, my wife and I were driving along, and she said, it was right after a movie, she said, let's take a drive, and so we did. And it was about 10:30 at night. And this was not a missing time scenario where, you know, it could have been an abduction, and, you know, 2 hours later we show up, you know, in some different place. And as I was driving along, it's been a road that I've been on many, many times, I saw lights of a car behind me. And we're all psychic. We all have awareness. And I knew beyond knowing that who or whatever was in that car was going to kill us. Now, this was just not out of my imagination. This was like, it was real. And I was scared to death. You'll notice in the story, in the book, there are a lot of experiences where the hero nearly gets killed. Well, that basically was me, and I've been faced death many times. But in this case, I was even more scared than normally because my wife's sitting there. She didn't have a clue what's happening. I have no gun in the glove compartment. I am totally, and I'm going like, oh, my, you know. And I got into the, shall we say, the mode of what's explained in the book and how to do it. And which is a little too lengthy to explain to you right now. And then, as I say, you have to read the book about three times until it finally absorbs in. But I was looking for some familiar landmarks to come up, and they didn't. Only for a nanosecond did things blur, but anyway, we just kept going. And I kept seeing different surroundings there. I found out that we were teleported, the car, my wife, myself, about a mile and a half away. You know, and when you teleport, it's a real thing. It's just not phony baloney. What I've been with others that have teleported, it's the whole thing does a shift, and it's a time shift as well as a physical shift. So it's not just that you're talking yourself into it, you're self-hypnotizing yourself. No, you've really done it. You've been there. So these things are all possible, but they're so hard to believe because we have brought up that gravity really exists. If you cut yourself, you're going to bleed. If you're born, you're going to die. This gets into the book that there is no such thing as reincarnation. There is only the dream that you go from one body to another. And the whole thing is explained out in great detail.
I'm sorry, I just, you know, sometimes it's hard to formulate the questions without coming off sounding like a whack job myself. I'm trying to grasp, and for my listeners who, you know, by judging in the chat room are a little bogged down by this and thinking it's too fruity for their knowledge, which I understand, you know, a lot of people bail out on it pretty quickly when it's something that, you know, you have to put more effort into other than just, oh, let's hear a creepy EVP or a photograph of some blurry Bigfoot picture taken in the forest somewhere. Those seem to be a lot more acceptable science. Can we influence now, can we influence time and space in a collective form to a point where, you know, tomorrow we can actually see this taking place? Or is this something that you need years of meditative work and understanding and yoga to get into this place where we can have this kind of shift of mentality?
You can do it now. I've been studying this for over 30 years. And as I say, you know, there are a lot of people who are probably more natural than I am at it. And 30 years ago, if somebody told me this, I would have been exactly like everybody in the chat room. It's very, very difficult. One of the main problems that I run into on the radio or in speaking engagements or on television is the disbelief that this can really be, because we've been so indoctrinated that we just cannot accept it. It's like in the South Sea Islands, when the first master ships came, the natives didn't see them because they had no reference to them. It's called agnosia. They were just totally blind to it. And when they got, the captain came out in his little dinghy over the side of the ship and they rowed ashore, then the natives could see the little rowboats appear almost as if they were coming out of a fog, because those things they understood. They understood little rowboats. We are blind to this. Let me give you one quick other example. I had a bunch of puppies in a box, and they were cutest little things, and they grew and grew and grew until they're a little big for the box. I mean, they'd kind of stand up on their hind legs and look over the edge of the box, and it's time to let them go, let them run around the kitchen. So I cut a huge hole in the side of the box, a huge hole. And, you know, no big thing. They could just fall out, really. They wouldn't come out, because to them, that hole did not exist. They still saw, even though I cut a hole there, that there was a wall there. And so I finally had to actually physically take them out of the box. We have all been so indoctrinated over thousands and thousands and thousands of lifetimes that this physical reality is real, that now is the time we're going to be breaking out of that. And that's what the 2012 timing is. We're starting to awaken that these things really aren't real. We have made them real, and there's a way to transcend them. In fact, I'm writing a scientific paper for one of the most respected physicists in the world. I don't want to use the name because the paper is not totally written and I haven't done it, but for one of the most prestigious universities in the world, saying to the science community, guys, you're going 180 degrees in the wrong direction here. Scientific proof that there exists an alternate reality, and you're going off on a wild goose chase. And this will be submitted to them over the United Kingdom in about the next 6 months. So it's difficult, and I understand everybody's skepticism. It's easier to believe in the Chupacabra or Atlantis or these things than that we have the ability to do all that God does, because it's like we're drops of water in the ocean. We have the same properties of the ocean. We're not the ocean, but we have these properties. And if we allow and let go and let God go through us, we have tapped into an infinite capability. And yet that just boggles our mind, and we're not where we can understand it. So we have to take baby steps getting there.
Well, quantum physics has proven to us that we are nothing more than a form of energy, that breaking down to the most molecular, to the lowest molecular structure, we're not actually a physical form, correct? That we're nothing more than moving molecules, which would allow for you to teleport, which would allow for you to move through a wall, which would allow for you to hit a transcendental state where you can mass communicate with people, you know, via telepathic communication. You know, I often wonder, we have good friends that are in the psychic and medium realm that, you know, Michael and Marty Perry that are in our chat room right now, Chris Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous, that are able to tap into, quote unquote, the dead and our ancestors. Do you believe that the ability that these people have is not so much talking to the dead, but talking to the living, almost in a form of remote viewing and getting that information from the essence of who those people are or were? Since time has no meaning, are we connecting with them in a corporeal, you know, a discorporeal state like a ghost, or are we communicating with them in an ethereal plane, just the energy that we are?
Good boy. Complex question. There are two answers to this. Number one, if there's only God, we are all portals through which God is demonstrating. Therefore, you think you're talking to Dane Alexander. You're not. You're speaking to another aspect of yourself. Okay, that's number one. So they are speaking, indeed, two aspects. But since the soul never dies, they're not speaking to a fabrication. They're just speaking to themselves in a different reality, a reality which we cannot normally see unless we change our focus and we, you know, see dead people. So they are doing something very legitimate and very good. At one point in time, when you rise even above that, there's a step above that, and all the people tend to disappear, and there's only one mind, there's only one self, and that's cosmic consciousness.
DRG Para Nicole in our chat room says, I remember being asleep once and waking up, a usual thing, and once I went to lay down, I closed my eyes, and then it was instantly morning and my alarm was going off. I didn't feel as I'd slept. I closed my eyes and it went from 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. Do you think that Mr. Alexander would consider this something like a way of teleporting?
I would have to think on that a little bit more. I've never had that question asked of me. It could have been actually an alien experience where there's the time loss. It could have been that you just did a time slip where, it could be. A couple different answers for that. I have to really think on that a little bit.
This just gets in, and I feel almost stupid, you know, as a host, you're ready for all this, and I've got an extensive list of questions even that you supplied me with that we can cover, but it almost feels like, you know, as you said, a two-hour show can't cover the nature of what this is all about. Are people going to hit this are people going to hit this state on a conscious level, or is everybody going to hit this at some point? It's going to happen. Some are just going to get there a lot quicker than others, or are some just, the bus is just going to drive right on by?
The bus isn't going to drive on by. Everybody's going to arrive. Some will just get there faster than others who are willing to say maybe there's a possibility, and they explore it, they allow it to happen. In as much as your listeners are into the paranormal, the majority of the world is not. The majority of the world cannot handle this. So you're a quantum leap ahead. Now you're being shown even the next step. And a few of you will say, okay, it kind of makes sense that if God is and God is perfect and all is one, there's a state of perfection. I don't understand what this Alexander is saying, but at least I'll examine it. And to those, you're going to probably get it in this lifetime. To the others, you're going to get it, it's just going to take a little bit longer, but the bus won't pass by. You're not going to be left hanging.
Are we living all at one time in the quantum timeline? Is my birth, my death, everything already happened? Everything is there. Are we touching this? Is this how we can get information sometimes that we had no knowledge of at this stage in my life, but it's something that I've tapped into, or am I tapping into more of a global consciousness? I mean, does that question make sense to you? Are we getting the information from ourselves because we are in the moment at all times, and it's just there for reference? Or are we getting the information from just what is the universe, or what is the power, the information highway, the matrix, if you will?
What you have to understand is what we are living in is a glorified dream, as you say, the matrix right now. But everything is occurring simultaneously, so the past, present, and future are all happening. And you're just tapping into the question and the answer at the same time. What is the essence of cosmic consciousness is where you wake up and there is no more dream. Even in the Bible, they talk about being of the world wide awake, but not of this world. So you can actually be here, but not be of it. And then when you really arise far enough, your vibrational state can no longer stay here. You have to go on, because this is a lower vibrational state. But time, past, present, future, all occurring at the same time. But it's a dream.
That would make sense to me of what things are that, and I think people miss the boat on this when we have moments of what we call deja vu. Is that because that moment is there a specific reason we're having that deja vu? Maybe it isn't just to say, oh, wow, I've been here before. Maybe there's something at that specific moment we are intended to take more notice of to help us in a future moment, if you will. That, to me, almost seems like in itself a form of time travel. When we have that moment, I'm looking across the board at Tim here, and I knew he was just going to snap his head at that exact same minute and arch his eyebrow. It was, having been there, is it to take notice of, oh, wow, this is a cool little moment, or is it to take notice of what comes next may be an important thing for us to take with us?
What comes next may be an important thing to take with us. There is no such thing as time. And once you really get into this state, time no longer becomes a value. When you were driving along and you said, oh my gosh, it's going to take me, you know, an hour and a half or whatever to arrive there, and you got there in 25 minutes, you did not bend time. We use the term bending time or folding time. No, that really is a misnomer. What you really did is say, time is of no value, and whoosh, you were there. Many, many people have had this experience. They don't know how to explain it, and they let it go. But you really found out for that period there was no time.
Let's take our last break. When we come back, we'll have about 10, 11 minutes left. If there's any more questions from the chat room, if you'd like to chime in, feel free to do so. Again, a quick mention for those of you that are interested in the Got Ghosts Conference, the International Got Ghosts Conference in Victoria, Canada. We do have about three sets of tickets still available so that you can participate in the event. It will get you into the event for free. You still are responsible for getting your transportation to and from the event and your hotel, but we do have special rates at the hotel of only $169 for a hotel that's usually in about $300 a day range. So if you're interested and you'd like to be a part of this event, you can get more information at nvspiritseekers.com. Again, that's nvspiritseekers.com. And then email me at dave@darknessradio, subject line, free Canadian tickets. Give me your name and contact information. I'll forward that on to Lisa, and we'll help you get a free set of passes for the Victorian Canadian International Conference. We'll be back with more and Dane Alexander and wrap up with your questions right after this.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
Thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way
Thank
she...
you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town. If it weren't for ghosts and aliens, these guys wouldn't be getting any action at all.
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio, and I hope you will join us for the Waverly Hills Paranormal Retreat. We have very limited tickets available, only 100 tickets, two full nights to investigate Waverly Hills with us, and you get two full days of paranormal talks with some of the best speakers in the paranormal field. Tickets are on sale right now at darknessevents.com. Also, remember to check out about the upcoming International Got Ghosts Conference. If you are interested in attending and would like free passes, I have about three sets of free passes left. Even if you're listening into this into the archives, shoot me an email if you're interested with your name, your phone number, email address, and we will get Lisa to contact you back from Nevada Spirit Seekers with information. We have three sets of tickets still available to give away right now. Please only contact us if you're interested. You can email me at dave@darknessradio.com. Let's go back. We have about 8 minutes left, Dane, in the show. What do you want people to take away from you this evening and take away from what you're offering? What can they do now to, you know, what do you want them to have from this?
Number one, I want them to realize that they, you know, you often hear about old souls, new souls, that sort of thing. No. you are all ancient. You're ancient of ancient, that you come from the very beginning and you carry all of this knowledge. But over time, the curtain, the veils have been pulled down, and there's a way of lifting those veils. And because you're listening into this very show means that you're different from the majority of the in the world, that you're ready to advance on to the next step, and that there's a way in which you'll be doing this. And it does require study, it does require diligence. You really have to make an effort, but it's there, and each and every person can do it, and it's possible. It's possible, and the world can be saved. We have roughly, nobody wants to hear this, another 10 years before the total annihilation, or almost total annihilation of mankind. This is going to be reversed. It's going to be reversed by people listening tonight. Only 1,000 people around the world can actually not only stop global warming, can reverse it. Right now, within 30 years, there'll be no aquatic life left in the world's oceans. Just the same 1,000 people who are naturals using this technique can totally reverse that and make these seas pristine. This is hard to believe. It's impossible at the outset. But you will, as you advance into this, start proving it to yourself by things that you will seem to do. In the beginning, people will be sitting next to you. They're going like, we didn't do that, did we? We didn't teleport. Tell me we didn't teleport. How did you do that? And you won't know, but you will have done it. And things will happen more rhythmically. So all of you are capable. All of you can do it. All of you at some point now or in the distant future will do it. You might as well try it now.
Well, I agree. I think that if you want to change, it's got to come from within, and it's only until you give yourself a chance to open up that you're going to make it. You know, I mean, even watching a silly cartoon today, there was a message in there that I heard that, you know, living like a shark, always moving forward, never stopping. The only way to survive is by pressing forward and making the next move, never going backwards. That seems to be our problem as human race, is going back and focusing on the crap around our necks that's dragging us down instead of the possibilities of what a future can hold. We like to seem to hold high the shield of injustice that has been placed upon us for all of the things that people have done bad to us in our lives and we've allowed them to do. And we've created, I think, our own paradox. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but we've created our own holdback. I don't even know that it's necessarily because people tell us we can't do these things and we can't be there. It's because we've limited our own expectations and we've limited our own reality that we are in the shape and the state that we're in.
Let me jump in, Dave. It's more than that. There are nearly 7 billion people on the planet. Each of us are a sending and receiving station telepathically. And what we do is we pick up all the negativity of others and we accept it as our own. We don't know it at the time. And we buy into these programs. We carry, as you were saying, this crap around our neck. And it gives us the limitations. This is what you were alluding to. And so, you know, we are victims of this mass world consciousness that's out there. And what this does, it shows you how to get rid of that and how to be the free, totally capable spirit that you really are. And tap into an infinite power that you, at this moment, find even difficult to believe exists, but it's there and it's totally free.
Dane, is there an evil? There's a yin and a yang, a dark and a light, an ebony and ivory, if you will, to everything. Is there really an evil, or is it nothing more than a contrived notion created by man to limit us?
There is no evil, but we've contrived it so well that we've brought it into existence like a poltergeist. A poltergeist is nothing more than a manifestation of energies that we've made into an actual physical apparition that can actually move things, cause problems, and so on and so forth. And so evil exists until we finally break through, and then evil will never exist for you again. You can never be cheated. You will never have the problems that you're having now. So yes, at this level, as we're seeing it in the illusion, evil is out there. But once you break through the dream state, you break through the Maya, there is no evil.
Are we going to cure cancer in our lifetime ourselves? Is this something that we can do? Is this something that people can reverse? You know, magnetics, crystals. Is there something to this, or is it simply giving the power and belief to something else and allowing that to, quote-unquote, heal you that takes these things away?
It's giving the power and belief to something else. When you use this particular modality that I'm referring to, the cancer will disappear instantly and never come back.
Well, then, isn't this almost like, Dane, isn't this almost, we opened up the talk our talk tonight, talking about God and religion in a sense of what do you believe. Doesn't this almost insinuate then that there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no existence in that form? It's something that we've been given to give us some form of direction, something to focus on, because, you know, for the most part, we're feeble-minded people. You know, we need something, we need a set of rules, because obviously we weren't able to withstand the knowledge that has been given to us, according to you, time after time, that we allow ourselves to keep folding in on ourselves and collapsing as civilizations, you know, be it the Mayan or Incan or Egyptian or the Atlanteans. You know, we've allowed ourselves to collapse time after time after time with the knowledge that we have. Is that correct?
Wow, you said a mouthful. There is a God, but you and God is one. Not you and God are one. You and God is one. Very much like the drop of the water in the ocean is one with the ocean, and it has all those properties. It doesn't mean you're God, per se, but you can allow all of that to come through you. And this other aspect of heaven and hell and all that, that's what we've dreamed up. God is in a state of perfection. What we've dreamed up is all this mess, and this is why the book is 416 pages long. It really needs to get into describing how we created this mess and how to get out of it, how to pop the balloon, so to speak, so this dream no longer exists.
You know, somebody mentioned real quickly in the chat room about the Bermuda Triangle and the things that seem to vanish, the vortex. Do you believe that there are spots on the Earth that are energetic portals that make it easier for communicating with the dead, communicating with aliens, communicating with interdimensionals, that we can, in fact, slip in between these places because the veil of time and space has been separated there?
I've experienced it myself, but here again, this is on the level of illusion. And yes, we see these, they seem real, very much like this chair that I'm sitting in seems real. Once you go past that, there are no portals because everything, you transcend that. But yeah, there are a lot of portals, and as I say, I've experienced them, and know people that have.
All right. Well, Dane, we've come to the end of the show. I appreciate the time that you've spent with us. Go ahead and give the website one more time for people.
It's Maya, itsmaya.com.
And Dane, for people that have questions and want to continue on, is there an email address there that they can contact you and try to seek more information and help and get copies of your book as well?
Be more than happy to. Just have them go to the website, and there is an email address there to the publisher, and which is my company out of London. I will try to respond or have my staff respond directly.
Dane, thank you very much for your time this evening and giving your time on Memorial Day weekend. Appreciate you being here. We thank all of you out there listening to us both live and listening in the archives. We'd like to also take a quick moment to thank all of the men and women of the armed services. This weekend is Memorial Day. Thank you for doing the job that you do, for protecting us and keeping us safe, and watching over us so that we can continue to live the liberty and the justice that we have here. We appreciate all of you, and we hope that you'll join us again next week. We're going to explore the Amityville Horror with Tim Yancey and another surprise guest. So stick with us. We'll be back next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.